Hello, everybody. This is Bill Knauer, and you're listening to Author, where we talk about writing and we talk about life, because what it takes to write the book you want to write is also what it takes to lead the life you want to lead. Author to Author is brought to you by Author Magazine, the premier free writing magazine on the internet, featuring articles on writing and the writing life, as well as video and audio interviews with best-selling and award-winning authors across the genres. Our new issue is up, and I've got a conversation with the historical novelist and science fiction novelist Louise Marley, also known as Kate Campbell. We had a great conversation about her music career, about stories and characters and creativity. Check it out. You can find it on YouTube or at authormagazine.org. And, we are funded by the Great Pacific Northwest Writers Association, supporting writers from pen to publication since 1955. You can learn more about the PNWA at pnwa.org. Sign up for the conference. It's already begun. It's already begun. The 51st con. I don't know how many. Done so many. It's coming up. 51st, I think, this summer. So start signing up now. People are already flooding in for that conference. It's going to be a good one. Go to pnwa.org to learn more about it. I'm going to be teaching myself in February. If you live in the Pacific Northwest, I'm going to be down at the Whidbey Island Writers Association is having a one-day, I'm teaching a one-day workshop on Whidbey Island called Authors Masterclass. It's a full-day class on craft, confidence, and marketing. I'm going to cover the emotional, the technical, and the marketing end of writing. If you want to check it out, go to Whidbey Island Writers Association to learn more about that. And, well, enough of that. Enough about me. I am so lucky today. I have the one and only Tammy Hoag on the show. If you're not familiar, Tammy is the number one international best-selling author of more than 30 books published in more than 30 languages worldwide, including her latest thrillers, Bitter Season, which I just got and read, and it is fabulous, Cold, Cold Heart, and The Ninth Girl. She's renowned for combining thrilling plots with character-driven suspense. And Hoag's first hit the New York Times bestseller list with Night Sins, and each of her books has been a bestseller ever since. Wow. What do you think of that? How lucky am I to have her on the show? Tammy, welcome to Author.
Thank you so much. Glad to be here.
Tammy, have you really written over 30 books? Did I misprint that, or is that true?
No, that's true.
That's a lot of books, Tammy.
Yeah, I look back on it, I'm like, wow. How'd that happen? It's seems like yesterday, and it seems like 100 years ago at the same time.
Yeah, well, such is time. I was thinking about Tam. I just met you through the wonder of the internet, but I have a sixth sense about these things, and I'm going to take a guess about you, and let's see how close I am. I would say there are some writers who really are writing. Because that's all they could do. It's like that or starvation, really. They feel like it's the only thing they're good at, and so they just plug into it. But I do not think that's the case with you. You strike me as a person who knows how to be good at things, kind of whatever she sets her mind to, she's going to get good at it. Is that a fair assessment?
Oh, well, that would certainly be my goal, yeah, no matter what's put in front of me. I'm going to do my best to conquer it, that's for sure.
Yeah. You seem that way. And so my question to you is then, for a woman who knows how to put her mind to something and get better at it and focus, why writing? Of all the things you could have done, and I'm sure there were many.
Yeah, well, I fell in love with writing when I was about 10, 9 or 10.
Yeah.
I just love creating my own little world and the people in it, and having that ability to tell a story. So that's something I wanted to do since I was, a young kid.
Yeah. 9. Do you know, Tammy, this is interesting. Do you know a lot of writers? Do you hang around with writers, or do you like to avoid them? Some writers
I'm kind of unto myself, I certainly have writer friends, and, we call each other cry on each other's shoulders the torment of the writing life, but really for the most part I'm very introverted. I stay in my house and hang out with the dogs and
Yeah.
And all the imaginary people in my head.
Well, so interestingly, I have met now hundreds of writers because of what I do, and I talk to them about writing. And 9 is the average age for when people recognize that they want to write.
Really?
That's it. Yep, that's kind of it. That was it for me, too, just for the most part, yeah. Isn't that interesting?
I guess that's when we figure out that we can do it. You know, that
yeah, I think so.
We don't have to just read the books. We can make up our own stories. So.
Yeah. Yeah. And so now you said earlier, you said you have a couple friends you call and you cry on each other's shoulders and talk about the tortures of the writer's life. Now, what to you are those tortures? What are Tammy's tortures?
Well,
I want to know.
There's always that point in the book where, you know, when you start out, it still has the potential to be the perfect thing, you know,
yeah.
the perfect child.
And, yeah.
you know, and then you get a little ways into the book, and it takes on a life of its own, and sometimes it takes turns I haven't foreseen, or I get stuck on something, and, you know. My ex-husband always said, "Oh, you must be on chapter 6."
<'Cause> like, yeah.
How do you know that? Well, that's when you always get frustrated. You know?
Yeah, but all right. So
you know, there's those frustrations and just of the business. You know, I mean the business
yeah.
side of things is not the fun part. You know,
it's not that you know because some people kind of like it, but you would just as soon not have to really think about the business side of it.
Well, you know, I always say, you know, writing is an art and a craft, and publishing is a business. You know,
yeah.
So the two things don't always mesh, you know, and you have to deal with schedules, the reality of schedules and deadlines and sales and all of it. You know, that's part and parcel. You know, but
you know what makes publishing a strange business, especially fiction publishing, is it's a business built on an unreality. In other words, the entire business is built on this thing called the imagination. They're selling
mm-hmm.
something that doesn't exist in the traditional, I mean, the book exists, but it's all coming out of this engine that no one can see called, in your case, your imagination. It's not, there's nothing tangible to it. And yet
right.
the imagination is the whole thing that drives it. You know, you're not
yeah.
a widget.
Exactly. Yeah. We're not selling pieces and parts and, selling the dream, yeah.
You are selling in a dream. In fact, maybe you could talk about this. This is one of the things I talk to my students about, is to be a writer, and it doesn't really matter. I write nonfiction, but it's the same. I used to write fiction, now I write nonfiction. It's the same basic process. You have to be able to sit in a chair and believe more in the thing you're seeing, in the world you're writing, in a way than the chair you're actually sitting in. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, aren't you?
Yeah.
Don't you become kind of lost within that world?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. And the you know the characters are very real in your mind. And yeah, yeah. I spend a lot more time in the imaginary world when I'm working on a book.
Do you remember when you remember publishing your first novel, however
yeah.
many years ago that was? Okay, so. Did you know a lot of published novelists at that time?
I knew no one.
Yeah.
No, I knew no one, and I lived in the middle of nowhere. You know, and we didn't even have the internet then. Dated
yeah.
myself. I'm from the Stone Age.
I lived
the
there
internet.
Too.
Yeah.
yeah.
So I know. I read the magazines, the writers' magazines, and I had no connection. I was of the mindset that if I wasn't published, I wasn't a real writer, so I couldn't justify spending money going to a writer's conference,
right.
you know, which is silly. You know, it's not
yeah.
really
yeah.
how that needs to work, but that was what I thought. You know, so I knew no one until I was published. I think I had a couple books in the pipeline before I actually found a writer's group. Yeah.
See, I think that that's an interesting leap that some people, maybe you didn't have to make it. I'm always fascinated by those who do and those who don't, which is that, because I'm sure you were a voracious reader probably from childhood. Right. And so, and I'm sure your reading life was extremely important to you. I'm sure that the books meant a lot to you as your development, just as a human being.
Mm-hmm.
And so that step to go from being just a person who reads and is interested in writing to allowing yourself to be one of those people who is now in that pantheon we call author. I think of that requires a psychological step. It's not so easy for people to make. Was that hard for you, or was it just like any other career that you just learn how to do it and then you're in?
Well,
the
actual writing of the story is, you know, that's something I'd been doing all along. So it wasn't like I was, a lawyer and then I decided to write a book, but had no background and had never written anything. You know, I mean, I'd written short stories and the beginnings of many a novel that never never finished. So the writing part of it was just very natural to me, you know. But when I decided, now's my time, I want to really try and get published, you know, then to really establish that the habits of this as a profession and not just, you know, scribbling in a notebook one at a time, you know, that was a transition, a little bit of a transition then.
What was the hardest part of that transition?
Oh, you know, I didn't really find anything about it hard, but I set a work day. I said this is going to be a profession. I have to treat it like a profession. So I set hours. I dressed to go to work. You know,
yeah.
I certainly don't do that anymore. But I was like, I want to be serious about it and treat it like this is my job. You know.
Yeah, I think that's a great piece of advice for a lot of writers, because I think that, I think one of the things I deal with, and I'd be curious to hear what you think. Do you ever teach at writers' conferences or anything, or do you not like that side of it?
I used to go out and hit some of the conferences. Then I just stay home and work.
Right. I get
that's
it.
That's what I do more often than not. I'm going to do a couple conferences this year, but I've been off that scene for a while.
Well, one of the things that comes up a lot is that the writers who are beginning their journey have trouble finding time to write. And I think one of the things they're having to deal with is the question of why bother? This doesn't feel real. And I think there's something to be said for making it real, even though even if you haven't gotten a contract yet, to make it real by cutting out a period of time, saying, I'm taking this seriously.
Yeah, I agree. I agree completely. You know, otherwise, you know, I mean, you've got to set the goals and strive to attain them, you know. Otherwise, maybe today I feel like writing, maybe tomorrow I feel like, you know, going shopping.
Right.
And you don't get the – because it obviously requires a tremendous amount of discipline if you're going to be a consistent working writer. You've got to put your brain in that place and treat yourself like you're a professional.
Yeah, and don't you also have to allow yourself when you go to write to make that transition to that? Because I don't know about you, but I don't live my life in the sort of mental space where writing occurs. I have to let myself move from where I am when I'm dealing with my kids and my wife, say, to where I am when I write. And I have to allow that transition to occur. Does that make sense?
Yeah, for sure. You know, it's good to have an environment that you write in, and that's where you go and you know, get your head into whatever world it is you're writing about, and to separate, you know, the other aspects of
those
your
two
life.
Places. So I was reading, I'm reading Bitter Season, which was is that your most recent?
Yes, yeah,
Bitter Season
on the stands.
Yeah. So I was just reading that, and I could tell right away, even if I didn't know you had published 30 books, I could tell right away that the writer of this book, who happened to be you, knew how to tell a story, and I could tell I was in a professional's hands in the story right away. And it moved along at a very compelling clip, this book. And
thank you.
So when you read or you watch suspense or you read, maybe do you read suspense yourself at all?
Yeah, I guess like most working writers, I don't get enough time to read for pleasure. So when I get a chance to read, I read all over the place. I read all different kinds of things. So you know, I might read suspense, but I'll read something else as well.
Yeah. And when you read a story and you see a suspense or a mystery or something that was that is trying to be compelling and suspenseful, what do you recognize certain problems other authors might have that you and you find yourself saying, I wouldn't have done this, I would have done that, oh, I don't go down that road. The suspense right in your head kind of observing what is working and what's not working.
Yeah, that kind of spoils the fun, but it's unavoidable, too, you know? You're looking like, oh, why did he do that? Well, I might have done it this way, and, you know, what's she going towards with this? You know, you become so analytical about it. And really, I just want to be swept away, but it's hard not, you know, it's hard not to do that.
It's hard not to do that, to play the writer even as you're the reader.
Yeah, for sure.
And are there certain, I don't want to say mistakes, but do you see certain hang-ups that happen on a regular basis with other stories that you're watching that you wish you could go on a pedestal and say, listen, everybody, you got to stop doing this and start doing that? Or is it not that specific?
Yeah, well, generally, I don't know if I'd say it was that specific. I'm a real stickler for police procedure, so I don't like it when people take liberties with that. That bothers me. Do your homework. Do your homework and do it right. It's no harder to make it correct than it is to make something up that isn't correct, you know. So I'm a stickler about that. That's my thing, you know. I think that right now there's a small, I don't know if I'd call it a trend, but it's something that's been going on in fiction in general the last couple of years, the totally unlikable cast of characters. I want somebody, you know, that I'm spending hours of my time, that, you know, hours of my life I will never get back. I want to spend it with some people that I would like to see them get a decent ending in a book, you know. So that I don't like.
And let's see, so and I was thinking about you, and I thought, God, all these books, and they're all full of suspense. And I was thinking about a passage from The Bitter Season where Kovac, is it Kovac? Is he pronouncing in your mind? Is he pronounced?
Yeah.
Okay, so he's one
Kovac,
of the one of the Kovac is one of the detectives in The Bitter Season, and he's in homicide. Is he in sex crimes or homicide? He's in homicide.
He's in homicide.
Yeah. And he deals with a lot of unpleasant people doing unpleasant things. And there's a scene where he's sitting there on his couch at the end of a shift thinking, Jesus, life is just, you know, one sort of horrendous activity after another. But he's got to keep his spirits up, but it's not easy. And I thought, it's because he's living in this world of murder and betrayal and all kinds of stuff. And then I thought of you, Tammy, and all your suspense books, and I thought, she is also sort of living in a world of murder and suspense.
True.
Although you're making it up, it's not real. You are living in it. You seem like a happy spirit. How do you keep your – it seems like a tough place to go every day to work.
Yeah, you know, I'm fascinated by why people do what they do. So, you know, that's kind of always at the heart of a story, and it's, in real life as well. You know, why did somebody – how did they get to this place where they, you know, in the case of writing suspense, where they would commit a terrible act against another person? What shaped them? You know, the psychology of the characters is always fascinating to me, whether they're, you know, whether this is a true crime or something that I'm creating on paper or reading. That's what's always at the heart of it for me, is the psychology of the characters, you know, and I'm just endlessly fascinated by that. I have crime TV running all the time.
Do you really? Do you?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, my God.
Absolutely, yeah.
You don't burn out on it?
Never. No. People are endlessly inventive in how they will treat one another badly. Wow, look at that, you know. I'm fascinated by that. But, for whatever, it doesn't drag me down. No, not at all.
You don't hold on to that sort of – you go into the darkness, but then you can come out again.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
And, you know, I've spent enough time with cops to watch them do that. You know, they've got to be able to distance themselves or, you know, I mean, they're on the front line of human depravity every day. You know, that either is going to drag you down or you learn how to cope with that and set it, you know, at an arm's length.
Sure. And you mentioned something earlier. You said you're interested in why someone would you know, do the things they do. And it struck me, and I don't write mystery or suspense, but I've always felt that calling mystery books whodunits inaccurate. I always felt they were really whydunits. That's
right.
The truly compelling question. Why? Why do that? Because who is kind of, well, there's not much depth to that question. But the why is the question, isn't it?
The why is really the question. Exactly.
And when you start, okay, so now I'm going to make a guess. I don't know about you, Tammy. I can often get this, but I'm having trouble with you. I often like to guess whether the writer is an outliner or not, and how much they do. And I'm going to say you're one of the majority that does some outlining but leaves a lot to inspiration. Is that right, or did I miss it?
I do no outlining.
Oh,
none.
God dang it.
No, none.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. I tried that.
Yeah.
After, you know, I finally decided I could send myself to a writer's conference back when, you know, and I had a book out and I had, I think, two books in the process. And so I was a real writer, so I could go to a real writer's conference. And there I learned that people do these elaborate outlines. And the people who give the workshops on that are the people who write elaborate outlines.
That's the way it works.
You know, speaker is up there saying, well, you know, every book has this many chapters and every chapter has this many scenes and this has to happen and that has to happen. And I was like, oh, my God, I don't know any of that. You know, how my editor doesn't find out. Then I thought I should probably try it, and I hated it.
Yeah.
I just hated it. So it's not for me.
Yeah, no, it's if you're an outliner, you're an outliner. If you're not, you're not.
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting. So what do you start with then? You must have some sense of something. I mean, maybe you don't.
Yeah.
Maybe you don't have any idea.
Well, no, I mean, I'll know the crime that's going to be central to the story. And I'll know, you know, I need to know my primary players in that. But beyond that, it's sort of like, you know, plugging them into the situation and turning them loose and I follow them around and write down what they say and do, you know. You know, and I might have some ideas of scenes I want included, or I might have a direction I think I want to go. You know, sometimes I even think I know who did it, you know, and that changes.
See, you're like J.A. Jantz. She doesn't outline either, and she says, I got a body and I have no idea why it's dead or who did it, and I just find out.
Yeah,
so
that's the fun part, you know. I mean, because you learn so much in the process, you know, and as these characters take shape and, you know, they say and do things that you didn't really necessarily anticipate. And, you know, it's a lot more fun for me not to know. You know, if I know, I'm like, well, why write the book? I already know who did it.
Wow. I love that. And so how often when you write it, do you say, okay, start off and someone's dead and now I've got my detectives and off they go. And do you look back and see that you had planted clues, so to speak, without knowing it when you get to the end and learn who did do it? That happens to you pretty often?
That happens all the time. And that's one of the, you know, that's just so cool. I turned a book in one time and we were, you know, I was late and we were on a short deadline and everything. And I turned the book in and I thought, you know, I don't think that's the right ending. And my editor, you know, read it overnight and called me the next day. And she's like, you know, it's a good book, but I'm not really satisfied with who the killer turned out to be. And I said, it's okay, because that's not that person didn't do it. It's this other person. You know? And she's like, oh, what? Are you kidding me? No, I'm pretty sure that it's this person. And she was like, oh, my God, well, how are we going to do this? You know, you're going to have to rewrite the whole book. And I said, no, I'm going to say I will have this back to you in 3 days. And I went back through the manuscript, and all these pieces were there. You know, and then I needed to magnify some things and draw some things out and add a couple of scenes. But it was all there in place.
Yeah, I love it. I love it, Tammy. And I should have known, you know what? I should have known you weren't an outliner. You know why? Because of one interesting little tidbit in your biography that should have told me that. See, I'm a detective now. And that piece of that detail was that you, when you are when you're upset, you destroy technology, or when you're excited.
Yeah.
Right. So you fry watches and hard drives and what all else?
Oh, TVs. One time I was on deadline. My TV is like my stable pony. You know, I have to have that little bit of company.
Right.
And the TV in my office died. And I'm on deadline. I'm like, no, and I think U.S. Open tennis was that week too. So I was I have to have a TV in my office. And I went out shopping for televisions, and I was just looking, just minding my own business, looking at these televisions. And I said, oh, I think I like this one. And I just touched the frame of the television, and it died.
Oh my God! You should write science fiction. See, yes. See, you are so tapped into some thing that I should have known you don't need an outline. You're too wired. Your antenna is too strong for that.
Yeah,
wow, that is such a great story. Have you ever had a character in your stories who has that ability? Who has that experience?
I haven't done that. That would be a fun character to write. I should do that.
That would be fun. It'd be an interesting mix in a suspense novel, but I think it would be good. We actually have a caller, and I want to see if I can squeeze his question in maybe I'll stretch things a little bit. Jeffrey, is that you?
It is, Bill. Wow, thank you so much for letting me on the air. Tammy Holmes.
You're welcome.
Well done, my friend. Hi, Tammy.
Hello.
I'm wishing you unparalleled success with all of your latest thrillers, Bitter Season, Cold, Cold Heart, and The Ninth Girl. And The Ninth led me to the question I want to ask you today. The question is, with all the phenomenal success and acclaim you've received with your books, I'm certain there have been major changes in your lifestyle, a whirlwind, as you just said, of publishing demands, the business end of writing, even your privacy. But my question really is, what's remained and also sustained you as that child of nine who just wanted to write simply for the sake of doing what you love to do?
Yeah, how do you keep your connection to her? Thanks, Jeffrey. I'm going to put you on hold.
Yeah, that's an excellent question. That's really an excellent question. I think, you know, just the love of telling the stories is, you know, to focus on that and not to focus on, what's the latest trend, who's doing what in the business.
Right.
You know, to really just, it's just, you know, when I'm in my office, it's just me and those characters, and that never changes. That is constant. You know, I don't let anything interfere with that. And I think that's the thing to do. You can be really easy to get caught up in the business aspect of this business and, you know, try to chase a trend or whatever. And I just pretty steadfastly refuse to do that, you know.
Good. You know, it's interesting. Look, I know it's a business, and I know that it's your job. You know, I know it supports your house and all the things you do, and it's a very adult life you lead and so on. But what you described to me, I still maintain that at its core, writing, even with all the craft and know-how, is closer to play in certain ways, in that you just want to pursue what is most interesting to you the way you would if you had some dolls on the floor almost, but it's just a little more formalized.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I think that's true. Absolutely.
It has that kind of innocence to it, even when you're dealing with serial killers, I think.
Yeah. Serial killers need love too.
They do. Well, so Tammy, you've been a delight, but I have time for one more question for you, and I'd love you to answer this one before I set you free. So finish this sentence. If writing has taught me anything, it's taught me what?
To be true to myself.
Good answer, Tammy. Yes, be true to yourself. Not going to chase a trend. Not going to change your style.
Nope.
Good for you. Good for you. All right. Well, the book is The Bitter Season. It's out now. Yeah, it just came out, right?
Yep, absolutely.
On
bookshelves now.
Where all fine books are sold. Tammy, it has been a pleasure. I'm sure there'll be another one out in another year, yeah?
Yeah, thank you so much. It was great fun.
Great. Thanks a lot, Tammy.
All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Well, be true to yourself. Be true to yourself, people. It's true. You might as well be yourself. Everyone else is taken. All right. Well, listen, I'm going to be on a run of bestsellers because next week I've got Lisa Gardner, another number one New York Times bestselling suspense writer. Until then, go do what you love. If you do, you can't go wrong. It's a true story.